and friends, and we're here to remember, to honor, and to celebrate the life of Bob O'Dell. There's a sadness we feel knowing that Bob is not with us anymore in this physical realm that we live, but we also have a joy knowing he's with the Lord. And our Lord spoke in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts to you this day. Grace this special time with your living presence. Bring comfort to us as we mourn, and bring to us a deep, abiding sense of your goodness and love for us all. May your presence where Bob now lives touch each and every one of us in a very real and meaningful way this morning. Amen. At this time, I'd like to have Steve Goble lead us in singing Amazing Grace.
Good morning. If you take out your programs, the words are in the first part of the program there.
I know most of you have got a program that was passed in the back, and I'd like to read from that about Bob's life. Bob was born in Chillicothe, Missouri, the eldest of eight children. As a teenager, he earned the name Spaceship after predicting that man would someday go to the moon. No one at school believed him. Bob graduated from Breckinridge High School in 1947 and entered the U.S. Army National Guard. After 2 years of active duty, Bob was employed by the International Shoe Company of Hamilton, Missouri as a machine operator. In 1952, he left to start his own television shop in Chillicothe. After 3 years, he sold it and moved to California. In San Diego, he was employed by Convair and worked on the F-102 and Atlas missile programs from 1955 until 1957, when he left to work for Cubic Corporation. During his employment at Cubic, he had the distinguished honor of helping to set up one of America's first downrange tracking stations and numerous other tracking systems. In 1962, Bob left Cubic to join forces with five other engineers to form Konik, which enjoyed a rapid and successful development. Eventually, he assumed the duties of vice president and general manager there. How fitting that it was Konik's transmitters that relayed voice communications, biomedical data, and TV pictures back to Earth from the Apollo 15 lunar rover in 1971. Konik was sold to Loral in 1974. In later years, Bob owned a satellite dish business and enjoyed collecting classic cars. He attended Living Springs Church and leaves behind his wife, Carol, six children, Doug, Bruce, and Sean O'Dell, Michael and Patrick Pierce, and Lindy Goebel, as well as eight grandchildren, Jordana McGovern, Carly Thomas, Jeremy, Caitlin, Joel, Daniel, Kaylee, and Nicholas Pierce. Bob, my friendship with Bob began almost 33 years ago. As you can see, he was quite accomplished, an astute businessman, scientific mind. You know, what really impressed me about Bob is, although he was more reserved, more a private person, I would say, he was always willing to help people. With the knowledge he had, which was quite vast, and I think he really had a lot of wisdom, too, in both the natural and spiritual realm. But if you would ask him, he would help you with anything. And I really benefited from his expertise over the years. I know many other people did. He had a real wisdom in the spiritual realm, too. I would say that Bob was part of the spiritual backbone of this fellowship. He didn't have to say a lot. But you know, when the Lord met Bob, as he was journeying through life, God made certain things real to his heart. Jesus Christ became very real to him. He had a relationship with the Lord. And what was a revelation to Bob, he never compromised. He was true to. I really felt that strength coming through all the years here in a place of leadership. I can't tell you how important it was to me to feel Bob's love and faith and support. He didn't have to vocalize it. On a heart level, I always felt it. Bob was not what I would call a real religious type. That's something else I liked a lot about him. He was just very real. And he could be, I've heard he could be a tad stubborn. But on the positive side of that, what Bob believed in, he was true to. The scripture says in Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not. And I feel that describes to me the way I knew Bob. What was a revelation to him, what he believed, he wouldn't compromise. Peer pressure couldn't affect him. The opinions of others wouldn't affect him. If it was right and he had a conviction about something, he held to it. And that was a real strength and blessing. I got to tell you one last thing before I turn it over to the family. The story of donuts here. For many years now, after the service, we have a box of donuts in the back that everybody tacks as soon as the service is over. And this came about because Bob decided to bring donuts to church. Now, I know we could question the wisdom of that type of food, but for Bob, there was a reason for that. He had a real vision that people would not just come together, do a service, and go home, but in his heart, he wanted to see people connect in a real way. not just in a service, but afterwards, to be able to talk, be real with one another, get to know one another. So in typical fashion, instead of Bob getting up and preaching a sermon about it or doing a bunch of teaching, he took an action that was very effective. He brought donuts. And the vision in his heart was if he had a food there that everybody wanted to eat, people would stay and they would talk and get to know one another. You know what? It worked. I think one of the strong points of this fellowship is when people come, they feel connected, they feel accepted and loved. And that very much was a part of Bob's heart. I miss him. I feel his presence here. I know he would just, I know he is thrilled to see us here, not in suit and ties and enjoying the presence of the Lord together. But I just am so appreciative of the relationship and the friendship I had with him these many years. At this time, I would like to ask the family members to come up and share. And when that is completed, we'll open it up for others here to share memories of Bob. And if we run into a problem with time, remember that immediately following the service, we're going to have a meal together, and there'll be more time to share stories as we eat together. But at this time, I would like to ask Sean to come up and begin. Thank you, Sean.
Well, first of all, thank you all for coming. If I had written 10 pages, it wouldn't be justice to him, but I will try to keep it brief and make the point, too. I always admired my dad for the great things he did. Among many other things, I admired him for being part of the greatest achievement yet for mankind, the manned spaceflight programs. How many of us can say we participated in anything with such an impact to humanity? He wasn't just part of the generation that led us to such heights. He actually played an active role in making it happen. We all owe a debt to him and men like him who took human beings a giant step further away from our primitive ancestry. I say that I admired my father for his achievements in regard to the larger human adventure, but he was also a great man for the way he impacted the lives of individual people. Countless times I saw his humanity in the way he treated those other people. Despite his cantankerous demeanor, and it was, I witnessed on countless occasions how he treated even the dirtiest bum like an equal. He never made anyone feel like they were less human for their condition. He spoke to them like any other human. And he always stood up for the underdog. He always noticed when somebody was overshadowed by others and gave them credit when they were due. I remember him telling me about a woman who he worked for his company in the early 60s. She had lost a job in the janitorial department because of health reasons and probably, according to him, a little bit of prejudice. She happened to be black. He found her crying because of this and asked her what had happened, and after she explained it, he gave her another job. Most of us would just feel sorry for her and offer condolences, but instead he moved her to the testing department, and you know what? He said she turned out to be one of the best testers he ever hired. So that was my dad. He was fair and he was giving. I say that I admired my father for his achievements and for the way he treated others, but I also loved him. I loved him because he was always there for me. I loved him because he loved me for who I am, not despite of who I am. And I think the same could be said for his love of others. My greatest loss is his love and concern for my welfare. It is true that my father was a difficult man. He was not perfect, but then who of us is? Despite his failings, he was a great man. Are there any examples of great men throughout history who weren't flawed in some way in their character? I don't think so. I don't know of any. What he lacked in grace, and that may not be the right word, he made up for in caring and generosity. He gave all of his children the opportunity to succeed in life and never stopped being concerned with our welfare. I love him for who he was, not despite it. And I only hope I can be half the man he was. I am grateful for all that he did and all he was, and I will miss him more than I could ever say. but his legacy will remain with us for a long time to come, and thus he will never truly be gone.
Well, you heard from the eloquent brother. I thought I was going to get to go first. That way, you know, when he came up, you'd... Sean is quite a guy. Patrick's also pretty good at, you know, hand and writing things. But it's funny, I could throw this whole thing away because in many respects, what already has been said, I'm just going to repeat in some fashion. I think of it a little bit differently. I came in as a Pierce. Obviously, you know, David announced us as Pierces, so we were a blended family before anyone knew what a blended family was. People said, what's a stepbrother? What's a half-brother? What's a half-sister? Nobody knew what that was. I really did have to explain a lot of what that meant when we had all of these different people around. But he took us in. I need to make sure I say welcome in particular to Hugh Bennett and Cliff Griffin. They were two of the founding members starters of Connick. They were his cohorts in crime and created quite a business that still thrives today. Whatever its name, whether, you know, it's been several long years, whoever owned it, whoever ran it, or reported to, wrote out the financial statements, whoever led it, you know, are people who have for most recently 50 years, you know, appreciated having a job. Thank you very much. I can remember early on, this is before my mother and my dad were married. We got shakes at Oscars. I mean, you know, everyone today, you know, I mean, there's a fast food joint on every corner, but we didn't get shakes when we were kids. And he would take us out, and we were happy, you know. Buy us a chocolate malt, you know, you couldn't make kids any happier than that. And so that was the start, and we thought, well, this is good, you know, what's next? He took us to work on Saturday, you know, I still remember when, us boys anyway, and, you know, gave us a soldering iron and tried to teach us how to soldering. It looked pretty pitiful, but wanted to try and show us something about, you know, what we didn't know anything about, which was electronics. And, you know, I was fascinated with the knobs on the test equipment. I didn't know what it did. Don't tell my boss, I still don't. But, you know, you twiddle the knobs and, you know, the guy that came in on Monday probably wondered who messed with this. But, you know, he involved us, you know, in things. He involved us in Boy Scouts. Sorry, Lindy, he didn't involve you in that. But and, you know, he stuck with us in Explorer Scouts. He hiked, you know, behind us on 50-mile treks with a pack on his back. And but he was a part of our lives. We had home building projects, you know. I mean, that monster of a block wall that made room for a swimming pool. I don't think any of us kids liked supporting that project at all. I mean, you know, he barking orders, more block, more cement, you know, hand mixing it in the wheelbarrow, and it still stands. I mean, we did have one section fall down, but we'll forget about that part, you know. No one was killed. So, and I know that I can speak for all us guys in particular, we liked his classic car stage. We got to drive the cars. Yeah, we did have to work on them. I mean, I can still remember when I didn't know a thing about cars, and he said, go take the head off that car. And I go, what? Just do this. And then he would leave me to do this. And I probably made 100 trips back in saying, is this what I'm supposed to do next? And but those things challenged us. It developed a can-do attitude, things that, you know, we did find out what we don't want to do. Today, I don't want to work on cars. I know that. And so I appreciate the fact that he made me work on a car so I knew what I did not want to do in life. The same way with, he gave us boys jobs at an early age, Doug, Pat, and I. We worked at Connick. You know, I think Doug and Pat also realized what they didn't want to do in life. Doug did not want to work in the stockroom his whole life. Pat did not want to work, you know, in maintenance. But I'll have to say that I did take a shine to electronics, and yeah, he did encourage me to get an engineering degree, which I did, and that's proven rather fruitful, and I am at that legacy company still today after 30-plus years. So I'm gaining the benefit, you know, here a generation beyond where Cliff and Hugh started it with my dad, and There were, by the way, I should make sure I mention that, you know, there are a lot of people that said, you know, sent their condolences, said their memories of my dad are warm. They remember, you know, Sean, you said a lot of things that are great, you know, fairness and integrity, you know, guy that got hired back in the early 70s, and he had to take a pay cut just to get the job. So he got a 20% pay cut. Then after he was working 7 days a week to try and get a program done, they had to, because things were not so great then, they had to ask all the employees to take a 20% pay cut, which meant that he was 40% down. So, and he went in and talked to him, and he said, you know, I don't know what I can do this. You know, I can't live on this. You know, and he said, just hang on. I'll be good. You'll be good for it. You know, so I'll make it up to you. And he did. And that man stuck around and became president for about 5 or 6 years. So he gave, talking about people who, you don't know what's going to happen. You give them opportunities, and they grow up, you know, in a job. People you didn't think could do something, and they were given an opportunity. So, as Sean said, too, he said, yeah, we were disciplined, and nobody liked Dad's wrath. So, but in the outburst, you know, we did realize later that there was a heart underneath that whole thing. I mean, there's sometimes when I was surprised that I thought we were going to get more trouble than we probably should have. We probably should have been disciplined even more so. We didn't always do the right things. So, I mean, Doug did a great job, you know, but he won't admit it. Huh? So, but, you know, there were times when, and this is a memory, and you guys can jump up and correct any story I tell that might be wrong, but I seem to recall that we were going to go to Disneyland, and we were, the brothers, you know, we fought and argued. I mean, we were brothers, and that's what we did. And before we got to the end of the driveway, we had a long driveway down the hill, we had already made him mad, and he said, that's it, we're going home. And we didn't go. And we were all dumbfounded, like, did we do something wrong? We didn't even understand, you know, so we were clueless. But there was also the 100-foot, you know, 100-square-foot penalty, and we were talking about this, you know, at Lindy's house after the gravesite. And you're going to have to correct me again if you think this is wrong, but I still remember that we were penalized. He said, you got to go out and clear 100 square feet of brush. We thought we were going to die. 100 square feet of brush, we were imagining, because we had an acre full of brush, so we were imagining that that ultimately was going to equate to the acre. So we went out there, and we started thinking about it, and we figured out 100 square feet is only 10 by 10. And we thought, well, should we tell Dad or not? That maybe he made a mistake. And I mean, being honest, like, you know, did he really expect more? So we, I'm the one who thought I should tell something. Doug didn't agree that I should tell him. He was afraid he'd change it and make it a square mile. But he didn't. He, as a matter of fact, coming to him, he said, well, good job. He says, you guys are done. And we didn't have to go out after that. I'm going, boy, talk about beads of sweat. You know, we didn't know what would happen when you went in to ask Dad, you know, what was going on. He helped us a lot. He encouraged us. You know, he helped us, you know, get jobs, buy homes, start families. You know, he encouraged us along the way. He wasn't chatty. David mentioned that he didn't talk a lot. But when he spoke, I always got the impression that he said something important. Maybe I should listen. Maybe it's because he didn't talk a lot. So when he did, you know, I got, maybe, you know, something went in. Now, granted, when your kids, you know, if you're a parent, you know, it goes in one ear and out the other, right? So we still had to learn things the hard way. But there are some things that he did say that worked out. I can only speak from my personal experience. I know he told me years ago, don't let that Iowa farm girl get away. She's a keeper. And I did keep that one, and 29 years later, there she still sits. So, so there's a lot to say. I appreciate my dad, and I don't even know how to go through all the stories. I know you guys, you should get up and tell stories. My sister is the greatest storyteller of all time, but I'll bet she steps back and says, so you should ask her. Just ask her any story. Ask her stories about her car, the red classic cars, right? He thinks that she should have, what was it? It was a Chevy? Buick. 55 Buick. and he painted it red and black. This was not the car this teenage girl wanted to drive at all. And she has more stories about that that she could probably tell, and many others for that matter. I know they all can. But thank you all for coming. We appreciate it.
I just hope you aren't the one that had to clear out the rest of that brush on the acre that we didn't clean. It's always mom out there, their hoe. I'm going to be prepared here. I got my water. I got my tissues, just in case. If I had one word to describe our dad, it would be generous. And if I had one verse to describe him, it would be 2 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11. It's a church, so I figured we'd read at least one verse. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Didn't even make it through my first paragraph. Our dad was not a talker, and he didn't share his private thoughts. He liked showing how he felt and what mattered to him by sharing what he had. He was a very generous man. Many here were recipients of his generosity, whether in a big or a small way. My six-year-old son, Nicholas, knows Grandpa by the sarsaparilla, hard candy kept by his bed. Grandpa would share a stash with Nicholas each time we came over. It was a small thing, but big to Nicholas. That was the typical generous dad. Once I needed a loan, and he was there to offer help. Although we discussed interest, etc., he never asked for payments. When I was able to pay him back, 2 years later, I asked him how much interest had accumulated so I could write a check. He said, "Pay me what you think is right." I calculated the interest myself at the agreed rate and paid him in full. He wouldn't have said a word if the interest was added or not, but I always knew he respected someone who honors his word. Our dad took us on many world adventures. Indonesia, Australia, Tahiti, Egypt, Brazil, Israel, Alaska, Hawaii. It goes on and on. Never understood why a farm boy wanted to go to all these places, but anyway, it was his idea. It was always incredible to me that he took the whole family. It was an education of a lifetime. That was a typical generous dad. Here's a typical generous dad story. We're in Indonesia. Most of us got off the tour bus, but Dad's still on with the window down. As I watched, he's handing out money to a few poor kids. Soon, a few more came by, then a few more, until kids were everywhere. He kept passing out money until there was no more to give. It was quite a scene. On Sundays, for years, Mom and Dad would go to IHOP or a similar place on Sunday after church. Everyone who came with us or showed up would get a free meal. He took care of everyone. No one offered to pay, and he never asked to be repaid. It was always his treat. He was a typical generous dad. This next part, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Biggest gift I ever experienced from Dad was him liking our mom so much he overlooked the fact that she had three small pieces of baggage that came with her. It was Mike, Lindy, and me. When they married, we went from a small apartment to a house so large that my second grade class asked if it was true that the house had an elevator and was it really haunted. Yeah, of course I said yes to both. I went from being the kid that was always in fights and in trouble to shaping up to be president of our school. Our mom got to stop working and raise us instead of babysitters. My whole world changed. I'm sure if we'd stayed in Linda Vista, my life would not have turned out the same. It's possible I would be doing jail time, although it's hard to judge a life from back in the second grade. But Dad's choices made my choices easier, and I believe God gave Dad the wisdom to make the right choices, even before he became a Christian. Our family is his legacy, and I wish to acknowledge the selfless acts of kindness and generosity they have shown. Sean, for putting his life on hold, and helping Mom with all the day-to-day work that was required with Dad over the past several years. Sean did all the things spent the time doing what the rest of us could not do. Sean made everything easier and less stressful for all of us. Doug and Darylyn were being present, available, loving with Lindy and her girls when they were on their own. I have such great respect for both of you. By watching your faithfulness towards them, I'm determined to make it through this. Lindy and Steve, there must be a trick to people getting through these things. I don't know what it is. Lindy and Steve, for taking over from Sean and Mom and doing all the detail work for the past 3 weeks, you also put your lives on hold, not because you had to, but because you have a generous heart. Mike and Sylvia, who took me under your covering so many years ago, including in so many meals and events, allowed me just to hang out with them. I was allowed to heal and get back on my feet for another day. And especially to Mom, who imparted a servant's heart to all of us. So when the need arises, one of us rises up to help. Thank you, Mom. And I don't want to forget my wife, Maureen. Best compliment I ever paid her, she wasn't even there. We were just first dating, and my mom asked about her. I said, she's a lot like you.
This is Kaylee.
My grandpa was the best grandpa ever, especially to my brother. He always wanted a sassafras from him.
People learn to public speak like that. Amazing. Well, I was one of those five engineers that came from Cubic and started Conic. And I'm baffled here. I never saw of Bob as being reticent to speak. What is that about? Why? Yeah, I'll be real short. Bob was a really important part of our company and the success of it, and he was a good friend to us all. And one thing I particularly remember about him when Cliff Griffin and I and Byron Frankenberger and F. Schultz would get in arguments, he was always the peacemaker. We'll miss him a lot. Thanks.
Bob has always been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. When we got to church here, I was 5. He's always been there. He's always been a support. And 14 years ago, when I was in my accident, they told me I wasn't going to walk from. He was that quiet support that just kept telling me, "You can do it." And he's right. I am walking because of that support and that push that he always gave me. If he saw me using the crutch, he'd tell me, "Put it down." You don't need that anymore. He's always been that support for all of us. And I know we're going to miss him.
I'd just like to say how thankful we are to participate in this event today. And if you have ever gone to school here or attended church here, you have been blessed by Bob O'Dell.
That's right.
If you've ever been in this building or eaten a meal, he probably paid for it. He's the only person I know who could say, "Well, we'll give $10,000. Just like that and do it. And he's also managed to make Sean the most well-read man in this generation, which is a wonderful thing. If you attended church here a long time ago, you'll appreciate that. Sean, you have certainly turned out to be a credit to your father. I know he's very proud of you. And we just want to give thanks for all the things that he did to bless this place, because his spirit has always been a part of things, whether it was our trips to Brazil, and Bob and Carol went as well, or whether it was what happened here in this place. There's a quote I like that says, "Whatsoever any man doeth," no, "whoever doeth good and enticeth others to do good, the same is of God." And also from Paul, that "the good that any man doeth, the same shall he receive again from the Lord." And I know that he has received it back in his posterity here. And what a joy that he has. I also know that everything that Carol has ever done for this church, she has done with Bob's permission. So his blessings are a double portion, because they're his blessings and also Carol's as well. I remember the whole church going to their house for a swim party after church. Everybody, the whole church. I remember having birthday parties at their home, always with Bob's permission, of course. And he was one of those still waters runs deep people. And I'm thankful that we've had the opportunity to have him in our lives.
My name is Ray. I just have one brief comment about Bob. We love and appreciate him very much. Now, some of you know that we changed churches at one point, changed our label, and became members of a church that a lot of people disapprove of. But most of you remained our friends, and we thank you and love you so much for that. A few people were very vocal in the other side of the opinion. But anyway, we noticed that Bob was still a good friend and always open to us. And I mentioned that to him one time. And he said, "It wouldn't matter if you had become Shiite Muslims. We would love you just as much." I appreciate that kind of man. It's the love of the Lord.
I hadn't planned to get up here, but there was one thing I always remember about Bob. And a lot of times after our service, we'd had our sermon and maybe a song, and Bob had such a good sense of humor, and he would come up and tell us a joke. And he would do that a number of times, and I just always appreciated that. But Bob is in our hearts forever. We loved him so much, and I can feel his spirit here today with us.
Thank you for all of you for sharing. That's wonderful. At this time, I'd like to have Jordana and Carly come up. They have a song for us.
Well, we're his granddaughters. We basically grew up at Grandma and Grandpa's house. I feel like we were there all the time. So I remember my little best friend and I, we would... sorry, I probably shouldn't talk before we sing.
All right. Go for it.
We would play, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen Detective in the stairs down, and Grandpa would be watching TV downstairs, and we'd be like, okay, is he gonna see us? You know, and we were like always spying on Grandpa, you know, when we would play detective, and we would run into his little office, and we'd run back up the stairs, and we'd be communicating, you know, with our pretend walkie-talkies, and Grandpa was such a good sport, because he always pretended like he didn't see us, and I'm sure he could hear us whispering and all that, running up and down the stairs, and he was good, so we would... always thought we were so sneaky, but, and the other thing, he really loved his grandkids, he loved everybody, you know, but my love for summer sausage, he, like, loved summer sausage, and those, like, huge beef logs, and so I liked them, too, so he would, every Christmas, he got me a log for Christmas. And so, and my sister got a jar of pickles because she liked pickles. So we had pickles for years in our house. But, and so I remember in college, every year we would get, I'd get my beef log, and I was always so excited about that. And I remember I told my roommate in college, my best friend, I was like, I'm probably going to come back with a summer sausage. She's like, what the heck is a summer sausage? And I was like, oh, you'll see. So I did. I had gotten it that year, and I came back, and it didn't even fit in our refrigerator because it was like this long. We had that little fridge. We had to cut it in half, and I totally introduced her to the sliced summer sausage. But just little things like that that Grandpa was always, you know, he didn't have to say a lot, you know, but just the little things that he did, he really did have a very servant's heart. So... So Carly and I wanted to just be able to sing a little song. We're not singers. So we had a hard time deciding what we wanted to sing. And it was because I was trying to pick something in Grandpa's generation, and I know he just had such an appreciation for music, and I really like music, but I'm not nearly as well versed in it, and I'm trying to think of, you know, a Willie Nelson song or something of the equivalent. So we ended up going with something more from our generation, but we were hoping that the lyrics would be honoring to him. So we'll try to make it through, but no promises. Thank you.
is not where it ends. I will carry you with me. Yeah, yeah. I will see you again. Oh, this is not where it ends. I will carry you with me. Oh, till I see you again. Whoa.
Slideshow, Michael, do you want to, is that all set up, ready to go? Do we need lights turned off, or does it?
You turn the sun out.
Yeah. I came across this poem or prayer, and I just thought of Bob, and I want to read this to you. Don't grieve for me, for now I'm free. I took his hand when I heard him call. I turned my back and left it all. If my parting has left a void, then fill it with remembered joy. My life's been full, I savored much. Good friends, good times, a loved one's touch. A friendship shared, a laugh, a kiss. Ah, yes, these things I too will miss. Perhaps my time seemed all too brief. Don't lengthen it now with undue grief. Lift up your hearts and share with me. God wanted me now. He set me free. We love you, Bob. We're going to conclude today with a final song. Steve is going to lead us.
I'm told this is one of Bob's favorite songs, so the words are in the last part of your
bulletin here. When I look into His Holiness.
When I look into Your holiness, when I gaze into Your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You, when I found the joy of reaching Your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in Your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You, I worship You.
Like to all stand. We want to invite everyone here that we want to thank you for coming, first of all, and invite you to stay for the meal that's to follow. We'd like to ask that to allow the family members and guests to go first. And let's make believe for this time to be a special blessing to Carol and the family, the presence of God to continue to minister to all our hearts. Thank you. We're dismissed.